This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Many of the TV trucks and news crews have left Puerto Rico, so we're no longer seeing the daily images of the devastated island. But the American humanitarian crisis remains there. 3.5 weeks after Hurricane Maria landed a direct hit, 85% of Puerto Rico remains without reliable power, 40% of people don't have cell service, a third lack safe drinking water. Well, WBUR reporter Simon Rios and photographer Jesse Costa were in Puerto Rico for 5 days last week. They're just back, and they've returned with some incredible stories, and they're here with me now in the studio. Hello, Simon.
Hello.
And hello, Jesse.
Hey, Magda.
So, our newsroom has been talking about the two of you and your reporting for days now, and it sounds like you had an incredible journey. You set off from Puerto Rico on Monday from Boston.
We did. We finally got onto a flight, and we were surprised to find it was only about a third or half full. Everybody on the plane had stories to tell, and one of them was really eager to talk to us. Her name was Yvonne Beltran. She's an attorney who lives in Revere, and she has several properties west of San Juan in Puerto Rico. She was traveling to the island to sort of check in on them and check in on her family. Yvonne was carrying a suitcase full of nails. She said $300 in nails that she got at Home Depot, as well as a chainsaw. And I wanted to find out where those materials were headed. So we met up with her the next day in a place called Arecibo.
Yeah. And Simone, and she wanted to talk to you because you were wearing an NPR shirt. Is that what you told me that earlier,
that
right?
That would be correct.
Okay. So, well, back to the serious matter at hand. Arecibo, you met up with her. Where did you go first?
So in Arecibo, we met her on an off-ramp off the highway, and we went first to the town of Islotes. It's a touristy area right on the beach where she had a small property with three houses. The buildings were in surprisingly good shape compared to some of the structures we saw on the way in, probably because the property was protected from the ocean by a sort of knoll. Mm. Her cousin was there fixing the roof on one of the wooden houses on the property that had been beaten up pretty bad. That house was inhabited by one of Yvonne's tenants, a woman named Sarah Stein. She was born in Mass and she's lived in Puerto Rico for several years. Sarah, if you can believe this, she passed the storm by herself in Islote.
We were here and we looked out the window. We could see, check up on the house, and it was pretty crazy. The wind, just constant wind, really strong. It would just white out everything because of the sand, so you couldn't really see that good.
Wow, just hearing Sarah describe it just kind of puts this image in my mind. But you were there. I mean, how did you react to what you were seeing, Simone?
It was all really surreal. I mean, the sheer amount of devastation, it's hard to process after you see so much of it. But, you know, I want to say that this place is a paradise. You could see under all the destruction that it's one of the most beautiful places. But you can't help but having a feeling of deep sadness.
Yeah, I mean, and sort of evidence of that paradise is in your photos, Jesse. And I should tell everyone, if they go to radioboston.org, you can see a bunch of Jesse's pictures. And we've got them at WBUR.org as well. But I'm looking at one of them here, Jesse, of this place that Simone just described. And there's Yvonne. She's sort of standing, looking around, surrounded by palm trees that have just been mowed down. I mean, what was she feeling at this moment?
I mean, I think that she was just very devastated. I mean, we had been walking around the property, surveying things, and I was walking ahead and pointed out the trees. And as she made her way up to the top of the knoll, you could tell that she was just devastated. And immediately after I took this photo, she just sat down next to the trees as if she just had lost a friend. Huh. And it was just so sad to watch. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
Well, Yvonne has family all over the island, right, Simone? So where did she take you to next?
Yeah, mainly in the area west of San Juan. But from Arecibo, we hopped in with her and headed to a place called Corozal. So Puerto Rico is divided by a mountain range called the Cordillera Central, the central mountain range, I guess. And it's in Corozal that she has roots going back generations.
Okay, and so, I mean, this is a car trip that you're taking, right? So what did you see on the way there?
On the way, we traveled through an area called Morobis. This was the worst we'd seen up until that point. The whole way, our mouths were just agape at the level of chaos and destruction. You know, I have to point out there's the human side of the tragedy, but there's also the environmental devastation mm-hmm. that you almost even see more of. Everywhere you look, it's the trees are down and just massive trees that you wouldn't imagine ripped out of the ground. We stopped at one area where a stand of bamboo, and I'm not talking about the little house bamboo. I'm talking about, you know, plants as thick as a coffee mug. But, you know, hundreds of trees just flattened, laying against the mountainside. We stopped to take pictures of this, and we noticed that under a bridge, there was a family washing their clothes in a stream. They'd actually carved out a set of stairs into the mud with improvised bamboo railings and a shower stall made of zinc. Jacqueline Marrero was washing clothes for five family members. She told us nobody had come from the government to help.
Se supone que casa por casa lleven agua potable y no la llevan. Yo tengo que estar buscando agua, lavando en el río.
Marrero told us she heard the government was supposed to be bringing potable water from house to house, but she hadn't seen it. So now she's washing clothes in the stream and cooking over a fire.
And this is another one of your pictures, Jesse. This one just makes my heart stop. Right there they are. Yeah. She's washing clothes from a bucket from the stream. She's sitting right next to you.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was shocked that people are actually washing their clothes on a roadside stream. I had no words to say, but... But I knew that, you know, that we needed to photograph it. And so I ran down there immediately. I just felt so horrible for this family. Words just can't describe it.
You know, one of the things about your photo, which I think is most telling, is there's a bottle of Clorox right next to them. Because bleach,
I didn't notice that.
Well, with the environmental concerns and the possible spread of disease, bleach has to be far more important than it ever was before. But I mean, Simone, they at least, I don't know, they have water of some kind. Are they one of the lucky ones?
They are. I mean, I asked Jacqueline about their house, and she said, thank God the house is still there, as well as the roof. You know, a lot of people's, you know, it's three different situations. You have your house and your roof, or you have the house with no roof, or your house is just entirely gone. In her case, you know, they had their house and they had the roof. But there's no electricity or water, and food is scarce, even in the local market. And if you go to the local market, they only take cash. And, you know, nobody carries large amounts of cash on a regular basis. So you have to travel to the closest city and, you know, stand in line at an ATM. And that can take hours, right, as we all know.
Right. And again, just to remind folks, this is 3 weeks after the hurricane. So tell us then where you went next with Yvonne.
So we headed out from Morovis, headed to Corozal, and we would stop. She was great because, you know, she wanted to talk to the people. So she'd stop her pickup truck and, you know, hey, how are you guys doing? Have you seen the government? And just strike up a conversation. Everybody was good natured. And, you know, I'll say that almost, I mean, this isn't to say that the government isn't in Puerto Rico, but in terms of what we saw and the people that we talked to on this trip, nobody had heard from the government at the local, federal, state levels at all. In one case, actually, we were the first outsiders that people had seen. And like you said, 3 weeks into the hurricane.
Mm. And so then you went to go see more spots where Yvonne has family, right?
Yeah, so she has family in the municipality of Corozal, which is also in the mountains. You know, there's just so many sites. I noticed a wooden utility pole that had just snapped in half. That's how strong these winds were. Turned out her uncle lived in that property. We drove a little ways up the road, and there was a lumberyard and hardware store that her family had opened many years ago in Corozal. She says this is where her family's livelihood was from, that it allowed her to go to college and eventually practice law. This place was just, again, we keep using the word devastation because that's what it was. She didn't know if they'd be able to reopen it. She said the family was worried about, particularly about one of her uncles who operated the lumberyard.
I saw him in a video that my cousin, he was like completely destroyed. This was his life, you know, to be there, to help the people around, to sell the little nails, to present ideas to people to fix their houses. All the houses that you've seen around, many of those materials were from here. So, you know, this was his community. Life changed, Some people are able to adapt, but others don't.
You know, you can hear it in her voice. She was trying to be optimistic.
Yeah.
And she was, but she had serious doubts about whether this area would make a full recovery.
But at the same time, maybe because I am resilient, hopeful that maybe the people get like a push to try to fix things, try to do more agriculture. But I don't know. It's just hope, Simon. It's just hope. But sad, you know, these places were full of life. Full of life, all these places.
You know, Simone, I'm thinking about when you first met Yvonne and the 300 nails or $300 worth of nails she had. I mean, like, it's just like you can hear in her voice there that that's how fundamental it is, that this is an island that's going to have to literally rebuild just nail by nail. That's what it makes me feel. Yeah. But I mean, or makes me think at least. What about the rest of Yvonne's family?
So after visiting the lumberyard, we went to see another uncle of hers in Corozal. His name is Gilberto Beltran. Gilberto works as a cook on a local beach. And he says everything is shut down. We're talking about two hurricanes because in this case, Irma came through.
Right.
And shortly thereafter, and Hurricane Maria came, and they both caused major damage to this beach he works on. He says they're going to be out of business for 5 or 6 months. That's what he's thinking, and this is the this is how the family lives. This is their source of income. You know, when we arrived, his eyes were welling up, and he couldn't stop hugging Yvonne.
Y aquí estamos con sin luz, sin agua. Es como, pero para adelante, ahora, ahora pues, no es fácil.
He said there that, you know, here we are without light, without water, but we can only go forward from here. It's not easy.
Dale, cógelo como unas vacaciones cortitas.
Pero, bueno, tiene compromiso.
Sí, yo sé.
Yvonne tells her uncle Gilberto to take it like a short vacation, and he sort of smiles and says, yeah, but I have commitments. And then he invited us all to eat, but Yvonne wouldn't accept.
No, nosotros no vinimos a comer de tu comida, tío.
No,
él quiere darnos comida.
Coman de la comida aquí.
Ay, no, tío.
Yvonne says she wanted for him to be calm and have faith that things will return to normal.
Honestly, that he invited her to eat, invited you all to eat in the midst of looking at 6 months of no income. So, Simone, I mean, okay, you and Jesse traveled with Yvonne Beltran, and you were visiting members of her family in Puerto Rico. How did all this affect her?
It's hard to say. I mean, like I said before, she had a mix of optimism and deep-seated doubt about what would become of all this. After we left this Uncle Gilberto, we ran into one of her cousins. He was out of work. He actually works for the government, but the power at the building he works at was down, so he wasn't working, wasn't getting paid. Now, this is a young, strong, professional guy, maybe in his mid-40s, and he told Yvonne that he wanted her help getting to the States. And I felt that, you know, if this is the type of person leaving Puerto Rico, who's going to be left to rebuild the island?
And just to remind folks, all of these people, all of these stories that you just went through with us, this was all on your first day on the island.
Yeah, it was.
Wow. Well, there's 4 more days worth of reporting from Simone and Jesse coming up on WBUR over the next coming days and weeks. WBUR reporter Simone Rios, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Magna.
And WBUR photographer Jesse Costa, thank you as well.
Thanks.
We've got both Jesse's images and a day log that Simone kept already on the website. We've got links to all of that. Take a look. It's at radioboston.org. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. Mm-hmm.